Is that work where it is? Oh, good. Well, bless God. We had an interest at home, our home church. January's always been a month of prayer and fasting. Not all month. But we gathered, yeah, and prayed. We bumped into a young couple that just joined the church. I was talking to them, and they said something really interesting to me, and I'm going to preach it somewhere. They said to us, and I've just like been in the church a month, 6 weeks, something like that. They said, yeah, we used to be believers, but now we're followers. And I thought, cool, I like that. For those of you who want to preach somewhere, that has got to be something you can nick, isn't it? I used to be a believer, but now I'm a follower. Yeah, I just share that one. I like that. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. You are wonderful. You are marvelous. You are super. We just stand in awe of your goodness to us. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. You daily load us down with benefits. Goodness and mercy follow us every day of our life. So we have plenty of grounds just to give you thanks and to give you praise. And we do it now in Jesus' name. And the saints of God say, amen. Amen. That song, you know, Raise a Hallelujah. We had a friend who was there when we first got saved. And he died not young. He had a good life. But at the funeral, they sang that at the wife chose that. They said, I want to sing this in the middle of the storm. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Old saints used to say, when you don't know how to pray, when you don't know what to say, you can always raise a hallelujah. You can always praise God. So those of you who are struggling in your prayer life, try raising a few hallelujahs and you might do well. All right, let's get on then. Do you remember what we're preaching? This is the fourth month. You must be able. Yeah, all right. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 10. The highway of holiness. And we've touched on various things and we'll scoot over those. But we're all going somewhere. That's a fact. If you said, I'm going nowhere, you are getting older and you are moving towards your final destination. That's a fact. You can rub in as many creams as you like. They don't work. But you could do what you like, but that's a fact of life, that we're all on a journey. We all have a final destination. We will all end up somewhere. But hopefully I'm going to speak to those today who have, ready? Very quickly, Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, don't look it up, entered in by the narrow gate. I like this whole thing about a narrow gate. Why? Because it's restrictive. You can't carry a load of junk with you. People want to get saved, well, they want to be themselves and have salvation plus. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says the gate's narrow. You can't carry a lot of junk with you. And yet some people, I've met too many over the years, none in this room, of course. Well, that's just the way I am. No, that's just the way you were. But then you entered through a narrow gate. And the whole idea is that you have shed some stuff. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But some people want to drag the old with them. I used to know a guy, and I mean, you know me, I'm mild and gentle and kind and gracious. I just want to slap this bloke. Because audio is, yeah, but that's just the way I am. I've always been like this. I've been an angry man since. No, you got saved. Let's get this down where it is. If it pinches a bit, it's not the new shoes, it's the truth. But too many people want to take the old with the new. You can't do that. We are new creations. It don't get much better than what you've got if you let it work. But too many people want to carry the old man around with them. I remember a famous preacher carrying around, he came on stage dragging a coffin. Seriously, I think it might have been Brownsville. And, you know, illustrating how much saints want to carry the old man around with them. I mean, that's not for today's preaching, by the way. We're all entered in by the narrow way. Where does that story end? Enter by the narrow gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life. I might be pretty. I'm going to have to take my jacket off just for a minute. You can stop for a minute. Yep. I've come that you what? Might get religion and get boring. It's one of these new translations, isn't it? No, that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Yeah, we're there. Thank you very much. I used to throw it on the floor, didn't I? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says this. It's a good one. I was sitting there thinking, oh, this is good. Imagine you're standing at a crossroads. And God says to you, I set before you a choice. Life or death. Blessing and cursing. Choose. God will send no man to hell. That's, if you've got that theology, you've got it wrong. God will send no man to hell. Man will send himself to hell by not choosing to go to heaven. I'm not going to get into all those I haven't heard and all that stuff because I can hear the cogs grinding round. But God somehow or another has got to give everybody the opportunity to be saved. Otherwise he wouldn't be just. That's why I don't believe in election, by the way, in the old. Because otherwise he would not be just. And we believe in a just God. I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. You choose life. By not choosing life, you choose death. Ready? Proverbs. This is just an introduction, by the way. 14 and 12 says this. There is a way that... Who's ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Oh, I like you already. Anyone else? You bunch of sinners. How many times have I said this? Well done. All that back row. Yeah. I'm not going to get into it if I get lost. But there's this way. What does Jesus say? Narrow is the way and difficult. So there's Pilgrim on this difficult way. And all of a sudden he sees an easy way. And he thinks, oh, I'll have a go at that. Why mess around? The Christian life, by the way, is difficult. No? Yeah. Then I'll read. It is, you know. So he ends up in trouble. Listen, there's a way that seems right to a man. Those of you like other translations, says there's a way that looks straight to a man, or there's a way that's enticing to a man, but the end thereof is in destruction. Or the end thereof is in death. Again, what translation you read? There's a way that seems right. Why? Because it's smooth, it's straight, it's easy, it's cool. Go with the flow. It's easier. One a bit profound. A.W. Tozer says this: it's easier to fall in with the march than ask where the march is going. And we live in a world where everyone. Don't make ripples. You've got to be PC. Don't ask where the end of being PC is. Just be PC. Don't be a Christian because you're going to upset somebody. Isn't it funny at the moment, Christians are the whipping boys and we ain't done nothing other than try to live right before God. There's something strange about that, but that's not for today. So, Isaiah 35 and 8, talking about the way, highway of holiness. I better get into it. We have seen what? If you haven't got your Bibles with you, you could do well to look it up. Firstly, it is a clean way. And what did we say by that? It says this, nothing unclean shall go in it. Well, if you're honest and you know yourself, you know you've got some issues. Not you, all them others. You're all right, darling. We've all got issues. When I say to you, holiness, you kind of get that. Or, you know, righteousness. Some of those words you read in the Bible, you think. But we are, not because of us, but because of him. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Yeah, I'll give you one from Hebrews, just to those of you who are feeling a bit dirty at the moment, not any. Hebrews 8 and 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. I don't know where you've come from. But the old hymn, the vilest offender who truly believes. Doesn't matter how black you were. Doesn't matter how far in sin you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You were made clean. I don't know if I agree. There's always someone, isn't there? Psalm 103, verse 12 says this. As far as the east is from... Now, how far is the east from the west? They can never catch up, can they? Because you're always going to be... That's how far God has removed your sins from you. Clean. Washed. Righteous. Justified, forgiven, accepted, adopted. I can go on, but not of yourself. Therefore, if any man, woman, be in Christ, he is a... The old has, not is, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Righteousness, by the way, and I've not got time to get into it because I'm going to briefly touch on it. It's not something you achieve. It's not something you have and you lose. It's a standing. God has spoken over your life and he has spoken over your life and said, you are righteous. And for those of you who struggle with that, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says this. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. The great exchange. He took your sin, you took his righteousness. So it's a clean way. Second one, it's a plain way. Even if a fool enters into this way, he shall not go astray. God will keep us as long as we want to be kept. Always put the last bit. God will keep us as long as we want to be kept. And probably when I preached this a couple of months ago, I used the illustration I love of kids with their parents. You know, you've got that little kid and mum's got his hand and that kid wants to get away and it wrestles and it struggles and it does everything. God will keep us as long as we want to be kept. Don't you dare give me the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He dangled the carrot, and you munched on it. But God's all the time saying, you don't need to. You know where this is going to end. You know there's going to be trouble. He will keep you. Now to him who is able to keep us and present us faultless in his sight, the keeping power of God, even though he be a fool, he will not go astray. And I talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that inner voice. It's last time round I said this, it's a safe way. No lion or ravenous beast. Thank God for his protection. He will keep us. And now read on. So we're in verse 9. And it's a free way. Praise God, you can't earn it. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be grace. Hear this. Can you earn the favour of God? No. If I pray more, he'll love me more. No. If I do more, he'll love me more. No. You should be earning it. You are loved with a love you cannot comprehend. And certainly do not deserve. For the definition of grace is, it's unearned, it's unmerited, it's undeserved. It's a gift. And today, you are recipients of the grace of God. God's mercy, God's favour. All this stuff, I'm behaving myself. Right, read on then. But the redeemed, this is where we are today. It's a free way. It's not what you've done, it's what Christ has already achieved. But the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Who's old enough to remember? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall... Anyway, that's not for today. The redeemed, that wonderful word, what does it mean? To buy back. Good. Do you want to take it a bit further? The full? Yeah, that's 3/4 there. To buy back something that was previously yours. Who's old? Who's as old as me? No, you're not that old. Anyway, are you really? You're wearing well. All right. Redeem. My grandmother. We come from poor people, you know. So now, yeah, no, I'm that's fine. I'm happy with that. And that was probably so 1920s, 1930s, something like that, with my grandma, wasn't it? Probably. And what they used to do is, like, on Monday, she would take her wedding ring to, for my American friend, a pawn shop. P-A-W-N, not a pawn. I said that. I remember we used to have lots of Americans. I told a story. They always go, a pawn shop. She would take it to a pawn shop. And she would put a wedding ring in there, and a man would give her maybe sixpence. And that would give him some money to take him through the week. But of course, on Friday, it would be totally wrong for a woman to go out without wearing a wedding band. So she would have to go to the pawn shop, and say she got it for sixpence, she would have to give him sixpence halfpenny. She'd have to give him the ransom to redeem what was already hers. Yeah? Does this make sense to you? Now that is the proper meaning of redemption. That you had something, and for whatever reason, you lost it, or someone else got it. Now you have to buy it back at a price, a ransom. You have been, right? Christ paid a price to get back what was already his, what Adam gave away. At what? At paying a price. And that's really the message for now. Here we go then. Yeah. And we can find biblical illustrations of this, too many of them actually. I'll give you a couple. So Old Testament, you're a Jew, you have property, suddenly you've hit hard times. You could sell yourself into slavery. Your nearest relative would come and had the right to buy you back by paying a ransom, or buy the property back by paying a ransom. Those of you who read your Bible, what story do you get from this? Boaz and Ruth. Remember, Naomi had, am I right? Yeah, I am. Naomi had the land. Yeah. I've got a daughter named Naomi. Naomi had the land. She, somewhere in history, sold the land. Her nearest relative, her technical term now, kinsman redeemer, family who's going to pay the price, comes. And he says what? There's someone else who's got the right to it. Because basically what he says is this. What's the time? I'll be finishing 10 minutes. All right? No, I've got to be quick to do that. What he says is this. That you can have the nearest relative, he says, you can buy the land. Oh, but by the way, something else has got to come with this. That you have the obligation. See, for a Jew, if he died and he didn't leave a male heir, his brother would have to marry the wife and try to produce a male heir, or the someone in the family would have to marry her to produce a male heir so the man's lineage could carry on. The other guy, so he says to the other guy, oh yeah, you can have the land. Oh, but by the way, you're going to have to marry her. He says, well, hang on, if I do that, my inheritance will be divided and all that stuff. And that's as Boaz and Ruth and the story goes on. The whole idea of a kinsman redeemer, a nearest relative who is willing to pay the price for you. You want to know about Christmas? Why did Jesus become flesh? As one of us, our nearest redeemer could pay a price for us. I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed, blah, 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 blah. You know that one? Except you're all too young. My, yeah, just in case, who wants a good word? Who does football? I don't do football, by the way. Oh, praise God. Oh, you do? I'll pray for you. The technical term, is ready? You'll like this, is manumission. Not Man United. Manumission. That is a technical term. The technical term is this. To buy someone with the intention of setting them free. You can look it up. Manumission. 4th century Christians. 4th century Christians used to buy slaves with the intention of setting them free. Abolitionists, American Civil War, used to buy slaves with the intention of setting them free. Manumission. We were slaves to sin. Romans 6. Romans 6 and 16 says this. Do you not know to whom you present yourself as a slave to obey, you are that one slaves. Adam presented himself to Satan. We become slaves to sin. Manumission. Christ comes and pays the price to set us Someone ought to start getting happy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says this. But God, who is rich in mercies, add that to this one. In the fullness of time, sent forth his Son. God, who is rich in mercy. There we are, slaves, can do nothing to set ourselves free, but our kinsman redeemer. Why do I celebrate Christmas? Because the Word became flesh. He became like me, so he could redeem someone like me. You need to start getting excited. I was sitting in my office doing this now. Listen, where am I going? I've really got to look at time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says this. You were bought with a price. You are no longer your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You were bought with a price. Who likes modern art? Oh, this way we've got Christian or congregation. But, you know, some, yeah, but, you know. So you see this kind of thing and you think, man, that is ugly. You know, and you... And someone's paid 20 million for it. Yeah. Why? Because the value of something is determined by how much you're willing to pay for it. Is that true? The devil will tell you you're useless, you're valueless, you've got no purpose, you've got no meaning. Let me ask you a question. How much God was willing to pay for you? Because remember what we said, redemption is to buy back something that was formerly yours. Ransom is to pay the price. What is the value that God set on you? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's the Bible say? The Bible says this. You were not redeemed with corruptible things from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Those of you who want to do some work when you get home, you want to look up Leviticus 17:11, where it says, the life is in the blood. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ. I want to say, whoever you are in this room, and I can go to each one of you. I do it sometimes, I'm really horrible. You know? I didn't see the person. God loves you so much that he paid the most that he could pay. That's how much God loves you. You are redeemed. You are the ransomed of the Lord. I struggle with that. All right, good. That was 1 Peter 1:18. Ephesians 1:7. In him you have redemption. How? Through his blood. Revelations chapter 5. And verse 9 says this, and you have redeemed us unto God with your blood. How much does God love you? You should walk out this place today with nothing else. I am loved by a God who is willing to pay the ultimate price for me. And Galatians, I'll finish with this. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be every man that hangs on a tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. The curse of the law. And very quickly, I'm just going to give you, I'm not even going to preach them, I don't think, hopefully, pray. Firstly, he's redeemed you from being separated from God. Yeah? Isaiah 59:2, your sins make a separation between you and your God. Next one is, he's redeemed us from following rules and regulations. Yeah? That's the law. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this, I've been redeemed. Now I keep the law because I love him. But for those of you who want your homework when you go home, and I'll do this for you, it's Deuteronomy 28. The first 14 verses, and it will be if you listen to the voice of the Lord, humble to obey all his commandments which I set before you this day, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall you be in... And that's how you're blessed. And everyone remembers that bit, the first 14 verses. But the next, 15 to 69, says this. And it shall be, if you will not obey, then all these curses shall come upon you. And he lists the whole list of things that you have been redeemed from. Because you have been redeemed from the curse. And for those of you who like them, there you go. You have been redeemed from lack, sickness, defeat, mental health issues, family breakdown, idolatry, destruction, captivity, slavery, Lord's disfavor, and fear. I looked up what all the curses were. We have been redeemed. When you walk out of here today, what am I trying to give you this? Is this. You're on this way of holiness. You're going home. The devil is a liar. And he will seek to hold you in your past. But you have been redeemed. You have been bought. You are the property of God. Now, are you one of those people who, I get angry sometimes when I see someone buy something and just kind of treat it with contempt. Why? Because it's kind of showing disrespect. It's just, God bought you. He knows how to look after his property. He knows how to look after his property. Are you redeemed? Do you know which way you're going? And you know, I'm wrapping up. I am, because I've got to be somewhere in about an hour. No, an hour and a half. But do you know where do you know you've been redeemed? Why have I come today? To remind you that you are redeemed. Hang on. You are redeemed. Graciously turn to the person next to you and just tell them, if you're a Christian, we take that assumption, you can graciously just tell them, you are. Come on, just tell them, you are redeemed. A ransom has been paid. You are the property of God. God will look after that which he has purchased. Amen. We're on the highway of holiness. I love it. We go that way together. Next time, how do you remember how the song goes, how the scripture goes? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. We're going home. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow and shall... Amen. Oh, all right. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? Let's go home. You need to, just for a moment, I know Pastor will wrap all this up, but just for a moment, the devil is a liar. And that's John 8:44, by the way. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And he wants to tell you that you're not. You're not set free. you're not been forgiven. You're not, that you're a failure. You are, and he's very good at accusing us. He's described as the accuser of the brethren. But God has sent me today to tell you this, that you have been ransomed. You have been redeemed. He loved you so much that he was willing to pay the ultimate price to set you free. John 8:36. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Can we just say that together? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, right where you are, that thing that has been accusing you, haunting you, tormenting you, you have been redeemed. I have been called to freedom. And the saints of God say, amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor.
Much to what Ken has said. I'm not going to add anything. I just encourage you to listen when Nigel puts it online, to listen, to be encouraged. But what I will say is, we as a body, as a people, of those that have been redeemed, really need to grab hold of this. When the Bible says this is who you are, the devil will always say, you're not. We need to grab it. And the reason why I get excited about messages like this, in Deuteronomy that Ken quoted, it says in the positive, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, if you pay attention. And there's that big if. And so often we don't pay attention because we don't realize who we are. We covered it in home group on Thursday. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are justified, sanctified, set apart, going from glory to glory, part of the royal priesthood. This is not a feel-good message in the sense of, look at me, aren't I great? Because God always gives us the narrow and the wide. He always gives us the choice. Choose life and not death. But speak into your life. Speak the promises that God has already given you. I am who God says that I am. I can do what God says I can do. I may not feel like it. Church, we don't go on our feelings, we go on our faith. The Bible says that God will help us in our time of need. The Bible says that he wants to prosper us. Prosperity is not about financial reward. It's about nothing broken, nothing missing. I've been redeemed. I was going to hell, now I'm going to heaven. How much more will God give us the things that we ask for when we ask in faith? So church, be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Please stay and have some refreshments. One or two people hopefully will stay and help us clear up, and we'll join you over there. Amen.